Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Today's episode of Carolla Classics is brought to you by Madison Reed Mister. Look, we're all working from home, and when you're looking at your screen, you see the image of what everybody else is seeing, and that's you sitting there with your gray hair on your video calls. But if you're thinking about coloring it, you are not alone. Madison Reed Mister is here for you. It's a gray blending natural color for your hair and your beard. So, look, they're before and after shots. Go to their website. Check it out. They look incredible. Look so natural. Nobody's ever going to question, did he dye his hair? But they are going to question, why does he look so good? And that's because Madison Reed Mister gets you a little more pepper, a little less salt. And if you go to the website, it makes it easy to find your color match. Lynette Carolla uses this stuff too, because it's not just for men. Madison Reed is also very well known for the ladies. It's quick, it's easy. Just apply the color gel to your dry hair, then add the activator, wait a few minutes, rinse, shampoo, and they deliver right to your door. Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. Use the code Carolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Carolla. Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for August 29th, 2020, the show where we highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show by playing you some clips over 11 years of podcasting. And we got a lot to choose from. We have an incredible show for you today. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey everybody, how you doing, Chris?
I'm great, Gio. Thank you again for cutting together a very nice Carolla Classics. I'm super excited to get to this, but first off, I want to remind everybody about Geico. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, we're going to start off with a listener request. This is from @farfromhuman, and he writes, there's a Carolla episode circa 2012 where Adam and a guest talk about what to do when a bear approaches you. Can you play that clip? Gio, what do we got?
This is Adam Carolla Show 727 featuring Greg Fitzsimmons, Al Zabrose, and Brian Bishop. This is the first or second episode. It's the second episode of 2012. So after the State of the Union, this is the first episode with a guest. Greg Fitzsimmons is always hilarious, and he always loves to get himself in there very early when the show comes back. I think it's some sort of tactic, and it probably makes sense. This is a hilarious clip of what to do when a bear is going to attack you during Allison's news. You also get a little bit of other magic that I threw in because it was very hilarious. All of these listener requests today, because there's quite a few of them, they line up for one of the funniest Carolla Classics ever, starting with this.
The Bachelor premiered last night, 16th season. Averaged 7.74 million viewers, which is down 13% since last year.
Wow.
And I bring this up just to ask, did anyone watch? Is anyone going to watch? I have it recorded, and I plan to watch.
I plan
to put it in the news.
I love the fact that
this is amazing.
You can get chicks together who probably, and I'm looking at 30, 25 chicks, and 19 of them would not give this guy their phone number if they were at a TGI Fridays and he sidled up next to them at the bar. But as soon as you get the chicks together and you say, you're all competing for this guy, all of a sudden, fucking hair extensions start flying with the lead press on nails.
And I think they really are convinced that they're falling in love with him. Like, I feel like that's real.
It's like episode number three. They're
crying already.
Tammy and Tiffany are getting into a fist fight crying over this one guy who they never would have fucked in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think in the Middle East, this is what happens. You know, you're in a harem. There's one dude, and he can pretty much choose who's wife number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even about the guy. He's some smelly fucking sheik with a towel on his head. Mm-hmm. But it's the cat fight instinct kicks in. It's not about him.
And my thing is, if Will Arnett lost some weight, he would look just like
the new Bachelor.
No. Everything's just, all I think about is Will Arnett. All
you know, he was with my wife before I was.
Man, you've got a real problem.
Really?
Yep.
How's that work?
What'd she say about it?
Well, I'd appreciate you taking the pictures
was
down.
Was it fat Will Arnett or was it regular Will?
I think it was drunk Will Arnett before he got sober.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not enjoyable, apparently.
Really?
No, I'm sure it was really, really awful.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off. What else did she say? I'm a Will Arnett fan.
Are you?
I mean, no.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as I am a Greg Fitzsimmons fan.
Well, you know
what
that means, Fitzdog.
What's that?
Somebody's got to fuck Amy Poehler.
Look.
And it's not going to be me.
Parks, Recreation, and the Fitzdog.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
When's it filmed? Where?
Yeah, I'm
When's
waiting.
The after party?
I'm waiting. All right, anyway. So the guy looks like a chubby Will Arnett, and he has a much better relationship with his mom than I do.
Mm-hmm. Super Bowl ads have sold out at record high prices. Advertisers paid an average of $3.5 million each for 30-second spots, and thus far, 70 30-second spots have been sold.
Highest rated television show in history was the Super Bowl last year.
Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. And then they'll, you know, and also they replay the spots over and over again.
And nerds talk about it.
Right.
And regular people.
Mm-hmm. I usually get so drunk, I forget about the whole Super Bowl. I mean, I forget the commercials that hang because I'm going to refill whatever it is I've been drinking. You know
Kimmel?
You'll
be at Kimmel's house this year?
Yeah, God willing. If he has a party, I should be there. Last time I saw Will Arnett, it was over at Kimmel's.
So that'll just keep coming up, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you part of the whole Kimmel invitation
thing? I've been there twice, but it's awkward because I like Jimmy and he likes me.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't pick up the phone and go, hey, can I come over to your house on Sunday for football? And I'd love to.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I know a lot of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it would cross a line. And yet I don't think that he has any real impetus to call me.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I'm not part of the crowd. I'm sort of on the sideline.
He's curtailed his football Sundays. We were just having a laugh with Dawson about it, how Dawson...
I'm sure Dawson thought it was super funny.
I was chuckling heartily. Dude.
It was one of the more uncomfortable moments of my life when I had to tell Dawson that he'd been cut from the roster.
To be fair, you didn't do it. You let Jimmy do it to a national audience.
Still uncomfortable.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
on How many air. People were cut?
Later, Hosen.
Just Dawson.
Yeah.
As far as I could tell. He wanted
not
to thin
true.
The herd by not, but not, but just by one sheep.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the problem was he brought over a calzone with the wrong cheese in it that he stands by.
I totally stand by it.
And then,
it is a mixture of mozzarella and jack cheese,
he also,
which every pizza place, in fact, right. I would bet that your beloved pizza man in Phoenix uses the same fucking cheese blend on his pizza as I put in my calzone.
Jimmy will get you fired from this podcast.
The second the last time I was hanging with Jimmy, we're standing by Chris's pizza oven eating fresh bread. So if he hears this podcast, he'll fire you from this show.
I don't care.
He has that much power, number one. Number two, explain the other reason why you're banned from Football Sunday.
I didn't know it was a bye week for the Chargers.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, where's the Charger game?
Speaking of bye.
And apparently,
11%
the wrong thing to do.
He walked into Kimmel's house and said, why are my Chargers not on one of these 28 TV sets?
Yeah.
And everyone looked at him and said, your Chargers are on a bye week.
To be fair, I was a little more of a dick than that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, see, I could... Jimmy's tough to be friends with because I'm not good as a friend. Like, Jimmy's like the kind of guy who will send you an email and something good happens. And he's just like does the right thing. He's a great host. And I don't
Never
know.
Stops.
I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could be up to those
literally
standards.
Walks you out to the car,
yeah.
Helps you into the car. Like, I mean, family's just fucking hugging and kissing and calling and hanging. Like, it's nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, I went out when I was in Arizona doing a show a few weeks ago. We all went out, and there was Jimmy and his dad and his sister, and it's like they're the exact opposite of the Corollas.
Yeah.
Exactly the opposite. My dad doesn't know. I don't know that he knows my sister's name. He certainly doesn't know. One time, I said to my dad, and this is when I was doing Love Line. This is like year number 8.5 of me doing Love Line. I said, you know, Drew this, or Drew said he'd call, and Drew something or other. I just said, Drew. And I said, I'm going to see Drew later on tonight, so I'll ask Drew. And he said... You talking about Ray's friend, Drew? And I was like, there's a guy who's named Drew, who's one of Ray's friends, who I don't know. And my dad assumed that's the Drew I was talking about after I'd been paired up with Dr. Drew for a decade. He had no idea. I mean, he knew who Dr. Drew was, but when I was saying Drew, he thought he was talking about a guy who I barely knew who was a friend of
Ray's. How am I supposed to know that?
That's right. All right. So anyway, yeah, you're not good enough for Kimmel.
Nope.
And evidently neither was Dawson.
It was fun, though. I had a good 2 years over there with really, really good pizza every Sunday. I would argue that I'd be stupid not to show up every Sunday.
I would also say that it was very uncomfortable
for you
after the show because we did it on the air. And it was it seemed like a bit.
Yeah.
And then after the show, Dawson said to me, "But seriously, that was a bit, right?" And I said, "No." And he went, "That was tough."
I even emailed Jimmy, and I'm like, "So, see you Sunday." And oh, the reply was the most.
What did it say?
I could feel the no punch me in the face. No, you don't get it.
He wrote that
was not a joke.
He wrote that.
Yes.
Wow.
Was that in all caps? He doesn't even need all caps.
It didn't have. It was. Yeah. It was in Greek. He's, it was all caps. It was bold.
He's
italic.
He's like a mean Will Arnett.
If Will Arnett got really, really mean.
Yeah, he's like a rude Will Arnett. You know. I mean, I know I'm not the first person that brought that up, but I mean that's.
That was a real good welcome to Hollywood moment. For Mr. Dawson here.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it to do it on the air?
I don't know. It seemed, you know, it's funny because it's actually easier for those involved to do it on the air.
Absolutely.
It's except for when off the air, the person says seriously, and you go, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of walked in on it. I gave them every opportunity. What was
more embarrassing, that or you assuming you're going out with Lisa Loeb?
Oh, I'm not embarrassed about Lisa Loeb. She lost, man. She fucking lost. Where is she now?
How are you? Is the real question.
I'm right here, brother.
Yeah. I love me some meat. Lisa Loeb's like a hot female Will Arnett. You know what I mean? Who plays acoustic guitar. You know?
I've been trying to place her, yeah.
What if this turns into the way you deal with all relationships in your life? Ma, can you come on the show?
Yeah, you know, I want to talk.
Ask your wife, can you come on the show?
Mm-hmm. I need a divorce.
I need a divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, seriously, after the show, were you serious?
What happened with Lisa Loeb, just to catch everyone up?
she was going to be a guest on the show. She was doing this... Lisa Loeb finds a husband reality TV show.
Number one single. Or
obviously,
like
there
that.
To promote it.
Tournament of Loeb.
Mm-hmm. I was single, eager. And I just said at the post show meeting, fuck, I'll go out on a date with her. I'll ask her out on the air.
Modify that a little bit? Because he showed up wearing his best chance and surfer flip flops.
I did.
And I said to him, like, what are y'all gussied up for? And he said, going out with Lisa Loeb. And I said, you're going on a date with Lisa Loeb? And he said,
the female Will Arnett?
He said, yeah. And I said, you're going out with Lisa Loeb? And he said, yeah. And I said, how did this work? And he said, well, she's single, isn't she? And I said, yeah. Well, she's coming in an hour. Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask her out. And I said, oh, you're not going out with Lisa Loeb. You're going to ask her out.
Skip the crucial step.
Skip the part where she says yes.
Yeah.
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 Sure.
Mm-hmm. Abduct probably would have been a better word at that point.
Yeah. It's like saying, I'm going to be knighted. I just haven't told the queen yet.
Yeah.
Did you hear A&E's doing a biography on me?
Yeah. You're just sitting there on one knee, looking around. What's going on? I'm not feeling a sword on each shoulder. What
sword?
What's up? Yeah.
Yeah, also, you wouldn't have dated Lisa Loeb. You'd be dating Lisa Loeb. You know, she's not exactly at the peak.
Oh, she was on her way down. That I thought was going to work in my advantage.
Sure, but you were on your way down.
No, you were moving laterally, though. It's not like you were moving up and she was moving down. You were just sort of sliding sideways, and she was coming down. But Lisa Loeb is cute, sold some records, and dated one Dweezil Zappa.
Is that true?
That's right. Who was Dweezil also with
Zappa
your wife, by
is,
the way.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's her Will Arnett.
She wanted me to bring it up on the air because she said it would be more, you know, less... Less,
yeah.
Less,
yeah. Well, I also think Lisa Loeb's got to be a vegetarian, and you look like you only eat meat.
You can smoke in front of her.
Yeah.
No.
And you'd be like, hey, I got a song, and she'd be like, oh, that is not the way to play an acoustic guitar. She'd constantly be telling you how to strum that guitar. It wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have worked.
It would have just been, you know, 11 to 14 months of insane sex and then a whole bunch of good stories. But it wouldn't
have
worked.
And breakup songs that you knew were about you.
Yeah.
That would taunt you for the rest of your life.
That's
insane
right.
Insane sex because she's kind of crazy.
Insane, crazy, crazy sex. It would have been months of it.
You don't want that.
No.
Gross.
No.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want to hear.
Dodged a bullet there.
With a nationally renowned recording artist.
Right. Right.
No. Who?
Right.
Bad move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I made out with her sister in New York about.
Really?
15 years ago.
Really? Yeah. Really?
Have you ever told that story before?
I'd like to hear that.
I feel like this is the first time for that story.
It was a pilot. We were both doing a pilot together.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie is her name.
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
Debbie Loeb.
Lived a little bit in the shadow. Lisa was at her peak at this point.
Right.
Is this the younger sister?
Hungry.
Yeah, she's younger.
To impress.
Mm-hmm. And flirted a little. Mm-hmm. Made out. Mm-hmm. That was it. Never saw her.
Never saw her again?
No. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about Lisa Loeb later, though. You know, when you when you only make out, you got to finish on your own.
Yeah, ladies, let it be known that we're going to get the job done one way or the other.
Yeah.
With or without you.
What's your preference, though?
For the two girls?
No. What's your preference, with or without? Sometimes is it actually without?
We'd like you to hang out and finish a job yourself, but we will finish with or without you.
To me, the perfecta, I see you, I jerk off to you. I make out with you, I jerk off to you. Then we fuck.
Where were you when I was trying to get a date with Lisa Loeb? I could have used all of this stuff.
You say you used to live in San Diego and got a concussion from skateboarding. And I am tired of talking about the Avocado Festival. And I don't give a shit about Alan Parsons anymore. All right. Sorry.
That's what the song would sound like. For the first time. And I'm on drugs that should make me feel nauseous, but that song did it for me. Oh, I hate that song.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of jerking off, by the way, you know, after 2 weeks off with my kids and being around the house 24/7, you know, just skating, tubing, fucking movies.
How extreme.
Kid, family, purity. Mm-hmm. They went back to school, and for 48 hours, I have been making up. Like, I can't stop jerking off. Like, almost like there's a equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get all that good family feeling out.
Right.
It's the constant
get the
J.
filth.
Right.
The constant what?
Like, K is a constant, but J would be the jizz constant.
Yes.
Constancy of
my God,
J.
has it felt good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Your wrist is in a brace. No wonder.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It's the carpal tunnel syndrome. Yeah.
Oh, you're doing the stranger.
Mm-hmm.
It's on his left
hand. It's on the left hand. Hey, now, how does it work with your wife with the beating off?
Did it next to her while she slept two nights ago.
Did she know?
Really?
Waited for the regular breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to have sex with her the night before, shot down.
Right.
Wanted to have sex that night, shot down. Went in the hamper, got one of her shirts, used that as the rag.
Really?
That's
into the hamper.
Like an alpha male. That's
like how you give a puppy a t-shirt that smells like
that's
you?
That's right. That's right.
I love that.
That's right. I waited for the regular breathing. And then
that meant she was asleep.
She was asleep.
But alive.
And then I just very gently thought about Lisa Loeb and Will Arnett together, which, by the way, is a great pairing.
Yeah.
And I worked it out. It was good.
Wait, like that.
What's the breathing like before it becomes regular?
Irregular.
But why?
Well, she doesn't snore, but she's got a little, there's a little bit of a, little bit of that.
Yeah. Gotcha.
A little traction.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done it in the bed with your wife sleeping?
No.
Really?
No. You know, here's the... No, first off, I changed my game. I don't do it in the recline position anymore. It's too dangerous.
You're hitting the shower.
Yeah, I'm upright. You know, and I'm not always in the shower.
Too dangerous for what objects that might be in that you're.
Well, first off, the back. You know, the back is just it's a mess.
Wow.
Orthopedically, this is a potential problem.
I mean,
gosh,
I did come up during the manovations of when we were doing the man show. I came up with something called the belly Zamboni, which would actually clear up this problem.
Is that in Wikipedia?
It should be.
Yeah.
So, no, I've never, I've trained myself. By the way, I can do it running from a Kodiak bear. That's how I've trained myself. And I will train my son that way as well. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you're not supposed to turn away from the bear.
Oh, no.
He doesn't.
Oh, you're running backwards.
At a certain point, if I can time it just right, as the bear comes up to me, if I can time it right, that's the only thing that will stop a Kodiak bear in its tracks.
Literally in its tracks. Just the threat
of pink eye will stop a Kodiak bear. And, of course, humiliation. By the way, when that Kodiak bear returns to Kodiak bear camp, they're like jizzed on by another hiker.
But what did he say to you as he jizzed on you?
Yeah, right. We've come full circle.
And they never put that in the parks, in the camping pamphlet.
No.
They say play dead.
Yeah, no. They never put in run backwards and jerk off. See diagram A.
Yeah. And they talk about pepper spray and... By the way, I like that thing where you're trying to make yourself bigger.
Yeah.
Like, a Kodiak bear weighs 1,715 pounds. Fitzsimmons, how much do you weigh?
150.
You weigh 150 pounds? So you balloon up to 162?
About 162.
Now the bear only weighs 1,400 pounds more than you?
Yeah.
Like, that making yourself bigger, when the thing goes back on its hind feet and it's 11 feet tall and it weighs 2,000 pounds, who cares if you're 150 or 165?
Yeah.
You're still fucking...
More to enjoy.
You're still just a fucking McNugget to the bear, right?
Sure.
I've made myself bigger.
Ooh, delicious.
It's like an ant making itself bigger to your shoe.
It's like I'm at a red light next to a Porsche and I'm revving my Prius.
Yeah, I'm going to make it bigger. No. But a shot of jizz, that'll stop him.
On so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the shame. Mm-hmm. There's the physical stickiness. There's the confusion. I mean, confusion
what
is your friend.
What just happened? What happened?
How could...
Yeah.
It buys you precious seconds.
And then also, what does the bear say to the bear wife? I was chasing a scared camper and he jizzed me? Right.
Yeah. Right. Sure. Three times this week? Then the key is, you gotta train yourself to get turned on by a giant Kodiak bear.
That's my point.
You buy fur coats, you make massive dioramas, you build it in the garage, and you just keep practicing running backwards and jerking off.
That's what I do. And I cover the entire garage floor.
You should probably have a forest in your
gravel.
House to train.
Yeah, I do. I have some of the guys who actually work at Disney actually come
That's
by
nice.
And set the stuff up for me. Yeah. Giant bearskin rug.
Yeah, start with the bear rug. Yeah,
you start small. Bear and I put it up on a hat rack.
Yeah.
And have my son shake it and go,
it's going to involve your children in this training process.
They got to learn. They got to learn.
Right, because one day, that'll be them. Jerking off and running backwards.
Hand of God, it will be. Hand of God.
That's an heirloom. That bear, that'll go to your great-grandkids someday.
It'll be like one of those Johnny Cash songs, you know what I mean? Like A Boy Named Sue. Like, like you're pissed at me now for making you shake this hat rack with this bear skin on it while Daddy beats off on it. Now you're pissed. But you'll thank me one day when you're being attacked by a Kodiak bear.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a Johnny Cash
but
song.
But what if in two or
it's
three generations...
It's a Lisa Loeb song. It's sung by Will Arnett. Wow.
Jesus.
What
if Kodiak bears go extinct in a few generations? Will your legacy be tarnished?
It'll work on any bear, especially the pandas, because you don't even have to move. You just stand there while they eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're running backwards, here's the key... Got to keep the pants from being around your ankles. You got to remember, zip fly, work it with the balls inside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can't go whole hog.
Why? Excuse me for being naive,
First,
why are the balls going to get in the way if you let them out?
For one, aerodynamic drag.
Yeah. Oh.
Number one.
Okay, that makes sense.
Number two, if you have a fairly prodigious sack, it'll do a sort of counter-pendulous sort of thing, and it'll throw you right off the trail.
Also,
number
if the
one.
Bear does catch you,
number
you want
two.
Your balls... out of the way.
Nobody wants the sack exposed.
Right, right.
Have you seen the claws on a Kodiak
bear? Because bears will not reach
bear?
Inside your pants. That's known.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, sack in, and by the way, you know, it's not like it's 90 degrees up there. You might be in 10,000 feet, thin oxygen.
It's true.
Cool.
Ball it's warmth. True. And if you're going to ejaculate, the sperm could freeze on the outside, and not you could never really get the projection that you need to hit the bear in the face.
Does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Frozen sperm blockage?
Mm.
And then it'd be like a sperm puck?
Listen, you factor in everything from the wind to whether you drank pineapple juice. I mean, it's in the handout. We'll give it to
lifestyle.
You after the show.
I mean, you've seen the Winnie the Pooh cartoons. You know when it looks like he's got honey all over his nozzle?
Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That ain't honey.
That was Eeyore.
All right. Eeyore. All right, baby, wrap it up.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
I feel high right now. Does anyone else feel high?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A little bit.
Show me the arsonist in Will Arnett one more time, and then I'll be able to sleep tonight.
What?
You know, when they do those movies where they put you in the fat suit, that's that. Right?
Very much so.
All right. Amazon. Oh, my God. Love me. All right.
That was Greg Fitzsimmons talking about what to do when a bear approaches you. Now, you mentioned that Greg always likes to come in a little early. He does. Whenever we schedule him, he's always in. He's always here about 15 to 20 minutes early. And
I meant on the calendar, but that also makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
like,
no,
I think it's a thing of, like, let me be on the first guest because people, like, maybe, like, drop off. And, like, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to get caught up on my podcast. So Greg makes sure he's, like, the first guest on every show.
Yeah, but also when he gets here, he's always very early. And what he does is he'll hang out in the engineering room. So before any appearance, imagine Greg just sitting in the engineering room looking through the window, and Adam sees him, so it's kind of funny. And Adam will usually bring him in early just because he's here already waiting, so we like to always
vibing
him.
We never, Adam loves that.
Yeah, we never mind bringing Fitzdog in. He's one of my favorite guests that comes in, always brings it consistently.
Yeah, when I finally get a tally, he's probably up over 100 episodes by now.
That's incredible. And yeah, just so many classic moments, as you guys have heard from these episodes. All right, let's get going with another clip. Now, something that Adam always likes to do is break down certain songs, and we'll get to some of those today. This one is Atlanta Rhythm Section's Imaginary Lover.
Adam Carolla Show, 722, five episodes prior. Andy Dick, Marshall Cook, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This is when they're promoting that football movie they did that Adam had a small cameo role in. This is from December of 2011, and we get a little Atlanta Rhythm Section's Imaginary Lover. Check it out.
With Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison, Allison.
Jerry Sandusky back in the news today. He waived his right to a preliminary hearing, and he is maintaining his innocence. But here is the best part of the story.
Mm.
His lawyer, Amendola, said it would be, quote, naive to think that university officials had responded to reports that Sandusky was having anal sex with a 10-year-old-looking kid in a shower room, and that their response to that would simply be to tell Sandusky, don't go in the shower anymore with kids. He says it's naive to believe that that's how it happened. And to anyone who might believe that, he says, I suggest you dial 1-800-REALITY because
ooh,
that makes
like
absolutely
that.
No sense. But guess what happens when you call 1-800-REALITY? Hit it, Gary.
Mm.
Go, Gary. Do it.
Like, there's
make
no,
it happen.
No way, Gary.
Please try your call again later.
Oh, come on.
All right. Wait. All right. Now, really, Gary, you guys can have that one figured out, huh? All right. Here we go.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the hottest place for triple X action. Get ready for bulge bursting pleasure with horny, gay, bi, and bi curious studs. Just 99 cents per minute for voice personals and amateur talk, and only $2.99 per minute for live one on one talk with a hot guy who'll do anything you want. Brought to you by National.
So obviously, he didn't realize this is what happens.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that's good.
But people
good.
Are kind of having a field day with it.
I feel like there's two things I know. If I misdial, if I miss a digit when I'm dialing,
mm-hmm.
I will get a crazy foreign accent on the other line.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go somewhere else on the web that's a digit off, it'll be something gay.
Yes.
Those are the two things I know, and I'm not happy about that as a society.
In fact, the preponderance of not just gay stuff, but more porn on the internet makes it so that certain things are impossible to search for.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you have any sort of gynecological question, you don't want to be searching for that on the internet. I said this earlier today. One time I was trying to find something about the Golden Girls. You can't even search Golden Girls.
Oh, man. I was trying to get my daughter one of those muff warmers for, you know, it's cold outside.
I was trying to have a lemon party.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is not going to be hosting that debate that he was going to be hosting that only two Republicans agreed to attend. He pulled out, saying he opted out of the debate because he is unwilling to officially rule out a third-party run for the White House.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "It is very important to me that the right Republican candidate be chosen to defeat the failed and very destructive Obama administration. But if that Republican, in my opinion, is not the right candidate, I am not willing to give up my right to run as an independent candidate. Therefore, so that there is no conflict of interest within the Republican Party, I have decided not to be the moderator of the Newsmax debate." But most people feel that this is disingenuous and that actually he pulled out because only two people decided to show up.
Yeah, he didn't want to look bad. So he pulled out. It's like canceling a concert where you have a 1,000-seat hall, you sell 41 tickets, and then you say, well, somebody's got a heat stroke or something. But it's really, if that place was sold out, you're going out on stage, right?
Yes.
I'd find some Atlantic Rhythm Section music for me, by the way. God damn. I like to drive around, listen to 70s and 80s stations, and realize how much... And realize just how much I hate certain bands and how much I loathe them and how little I knew I hated them. This sounds like a different version. I don't know why.
Because you don't mind it?
No, this part's there. This is a different version. This isn't... Never turn you down. That's the car wash version. When all the others turn you away. That's a weird non... Is that the Atlantic Rhythm Section? That's a re-recording. I could tell Dawson from the first fucking lick of the guitar that it was a beat slower and weird.
I could tell by your face that it wasn't right.
And I don't even know that fucking song. I mean, I know it. I hate it. Don't get me wrong. I would never buy an Atlantic Rhythm Section album if you put a fucking gun to both my kids' heads and said, look, buy one Atlantic Rhythm Section album. I'd be, no, I'm sorry. I just give me a moment to say goodbye to my kids.
Who would you say goodbye to first, though? Don't answer that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, that's because you, as you were saying earlier, you can sniff out stuff.
Oh, they sing So Into You, which is... This is a song that I remember hearing when it came out, and it just fucking haunts me. Just listen to how shitty this fucking piece of shit is.
It's
such a piece of shit. Listen.
A corn chip.
There was voodoo in the vag. Where was there voodoo? Where's your voodoo?
I keep mine in my vag sometimes.
It's captured by a star? He's captured by a stash, but he couldn't catch a rhyme. There's voodoo in your stash? The song was top 10. Here it is. This song gets played frequently on the 70s station. And I just always scream at whoever's in the car, does anyone like this piece of shit?
What if no one's in the car?
I fucking yell it to the fucking headliner and to the heavens. Nobody likes this song. There's nobody who's ever like, I want to hear So Into You by the Atlantic Rhythm Section.
Sounds like a shitty version of Boss Gags.
It's like someone said, hey, Boss, come here. Let me hit you on the head with a skillet, and I'll give you an ether rag. Now, I want you to crank out a shitty song. It's like, I am so... Find me the lyrics to this song. When she walked into the room... it was number 7. It got to number 7. John Hyatt hasn't fucking cracked the top 10. We're so goddamn dumb. Yeah, we get it. You're into... You.
So into you.
So into you. When you walked in the room, there was voodoo
in your vibes.
In the vibes. Oh, in the vag? I was wrong all these.
It's in the vibes, but some people call their vag their vibes. Like, good vibes.
I was wrong for 24 years. Yeah, turn it up. He doesn't say vibes. He's like, bah.
Right. He may as well be saying bad.
By your style.
one.
I could not catch your eye.
Couldn't get your eyes.
Now I stand here helplessly, yeah. Hoping you get into
this song is a top 10 song that continues to be played frequently today. It's such a fucking nauseating piece of shit.
What was her style that captured him anyway?
She was captured by her vag. She had voodoo in her vag. And listen, if I was the fucking city of Atlanta, I would strip these guys of their name and go, listen, you boring, fucked out piece of shit of a rock band, give us our name back.
You're just a rhythm section now.
Yeah. That was the promotional material that Artie Fufkin used to try to get it on the air was the vag full of voodoo.
He oversaturated. Just let it go. Let it go. Here's where it gets real heavy. Is it gonna
break it down?
It was a top 10 song. Of course there was payola being given around. There's no record executive. There's no program. There's no program director who sits down and gives us a spin and goes, hey, man, we got a hit. We have a hit. Yeah.
Pillowcase, yeah, sounds good.
Pillowcase, where the fucking Bolivian marching powder and Three Blondes, please. Nobody listens to this. This is a zero. Oh, wait, it's going to keep going. And also, I love when a piece of shit won't die. Like someone goes, you know what? We should take another lap around shit park with this horrible dirge. Here it is.
While we're at it, rename the park.
Someone with black hair, I have to say, how come when people are trading, they never trade raven hair beauties? It's always Three Blondes.
Yeah, sorry. Well, they're coked up,
the
you know.
The brunette sisters and I would like to know what's up.
They used to do the redhead in the 50s. All right, wait a minute. I think this one just keeps going. What's the part where he goes, you into me, me into you, you into... We were driving
that
to Fresno, and the other Atlanta Rhythm Section song came on, and I just... No, I don't want to hear Spooky. Well, though Spooky's a piece of shit, too. Let's listen to this. Let's listen to another... I mean, somebody... Somebody needs to stop these ass wipes. I mean, there should be, you know.
You're the person to do
listen,
it.
You know the blacks want restitution for slavery?
Mm-hmm.
I want restitution from the Atlantic Rhythm Section for So Into You and Imaginary Lover.
Right.
And what did this get to on the fucking charts? They both
seven.
Got to number seven.
I wonder if they're like, fuck, we can't break out of seven.
How slow and rhythmless
this is
and
song about masturbation.
I think it's a song about beating off in the shower, yeah.
Because it's an imaginary lover.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's like, he goes, you know, when the others turn you away. Yeah.
Right. All righty and lefty.
Yeah.
Imaginary lovers. So
yeah. Yeah, it's like the badge in the room.
Is that like no one think about the badge in the room?
No, it's like when you walked in the room, there was a badge in the air.
Yeah, it's just totally
real life situation.
Off.
Here's the part I love.
Imaginations are real.
Now, look, I don't mind the part where the guy from RCA Records dumped off a mountain of cocaine to the program director to play this piece of shit and got him fucked and bought him a steak. It's called payola. It's what we used to do. And thus, the song got played and played and played, and thus it got up into the top 10 on the charts.
Wasn't exactly a mountain ace, man. Peak.
Sorry, Jack. Do we have to continue to punish ourselves for this mistake? Do we have to continue to hear this on the 70s?
Yes, when will the curse be lifted? How long must you pay?
Are they not allowed to play, like, Led Zeppelin songs on the 70s station?
Because nobody in classic rock or classic hits radio, nobody wants to take any more chances. They are all scared to fucking death and running for the hills.
You mean they're not going to try anything out on these new young punks, Led Zeppelin?
Your chance is not playing a super slow, shitty song?
It worked then. It works now.
It's such a piece of shit. God, the Atlantic Rhythm Section is fucking horrible. God damn, I hope they're gone. I just hope they're not bringing any pain to a new generation of poor people. I hope they're playing a fucking Waffle House in Beirut and then being fisted after their set.
Do they have Waffle Houses in Beirut?
No. I want to erect a Waffle House in Beirut and then book the Atlantic Rhythm section and then grab a handful of sand from the desert and give them a good fisting for this fucking the pain and heartache they've caused in my life.
I hope you spell it H-A-U-S just because.
Oh, that's right. That makes sense. Yeah. All right. Number seven, everybody. Top ten. That's why you have to throw that fucking top ten. I where the fuck did Rosalita? I'll forget about John Hyde. Let me see. As high as Rosalita, Bruce Springsteen's Rosalita got.
I'm going to guess 23.
Got on the list.
7.5 minutes of glory.
Let's try to figure. Let's figure that one out. Or, you know, find out how high Peace, Love, and Understanding got to or something like that. Find me that so I can never, ever stop vomiting. All right, where were we?
Well, Jessica Simpson is going to receive $3 million.
What?
From Weight Watchers endorse Weight Watchers after she has her baby.
Oh, look. She's
carrying your pounds in her breast.
This thing where people get fat and then just lose weight and then it kickstarts their career again, I'm not down with that.
I'm only down with that as a career option down the line.
Mm-hmm. Is it an option for dudes? Who are the dudes who do this? I mean, once in a while...
Jeremy Craig.
Tommy Lasorda.
You're right. There's
Slim
not
fast.
A lot of dudes.
Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Jocks.
Jared.
Yeah,
they'll
Subway
be Jared.
Wow, man. The over-under on Jared, you know, 11 years ago when he hit the scene. 6 months?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam, would you ever gain weight for the money?
I mean, you're talking...
Or for a role, even. Would you do it?
You're talking to a guy who... made fun, you know, talking about a guy who called Mountain Dew Nectar of the Tards for years and then did a commercial for them, I think a radio spot. And you're talking about a guy who had his...
You're proudly trumpeting your willingness to sell out?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about a guy who was rejected from the North Hollywood Taco Bell. Application denied. Imagination. Unreal. Oh, no, wait a minute. Sorry.
Vag vibes.
Vagination. Unreal. Denied. Denied. Neither Peace, Love, and Understanding nor Rosalita hit the Hot 100. But Imaginary Lover did, and So Into You. They both got in the top 10. So, therefore, that list is meaningless. Mm-hmm. Is there any other conclusion to draw than the list is utterly meaningless? Rosalita does not crack the top 100, and So Into You square in the top 10. So
it's a good snapshot of the time.
Oh, God. It just shows how fucking stupid people are and how much payola was fucking going on back then. It's impossible to hear So Into You and go, that's a hit. It's fucking impossible. You can't do it. It's such a piece of shit.
Oh, good old days.
Jack misses those days. At least still dresses the same. All right. What are we talking about?
We were talking about your willingness to sell
out. Oh, I did a Taco Bell commercial. Yeah, I would pack on. I'd pack on the pounds. Sure.
And that was another classic Corolla song breakdown of Imaginary Lover. All right, let's get going with another clip. We got another listener request, and... Man, we're getting some music today because at Lipouts tweeted, I love Corolla Classics. Can I make a request? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a radio DJ. And I love the toolbox with Dawson hitting the post. But him doing Mellencamp's I Need a Lover intro was hilarious. It never ends. At Lipouts, you know, totally correct. This was my favorite toolbox because Dawson did it live in the show. Adam asked him for it, and... it had just one of those intros that never seemed to end.
This made the Ace Awards that year. This is Adam Carolla Show 2178. Jeff Cesario's in studio, Gina Grant, and Brian Bishop. They have Dawson do a series of toolbox intros as like a segment as opposed to just the opening on the show, which you guys should do again. This is another one of these ones.
I agree completely. I love... I love when Dawson does these does the toolbox live in the show, just because everyone can kind of laugh and you hear everybody's reaction. Because we play them before the show, and it's usually just really clean. But Adam's cracking up in studio, and so is Brian and Gina. So
yeah, we don't, as listeners, we don't get that part. Yeah, we exactly. have to crack up on our own.
But you can feel when it happens. And just for a reminder, or maybe even a heads up for people, when we say hitting the post, something that radio DJs do is they'll talk up a song and they'll go all the way till right before the singer starts singing, and they'll end it
so before
with the next
lyrics.
Button. Yes, exactly. Let's check it out. Dawson hitting the post.
All right, we got Chet Waterhouse. We got the game. Oh, we got a new Dick Banks song. Oh, we got the toolbox with Mike Dawson.
Yes.
So Dawson, how you feeling?
Always good.
Somebody tweeted me this song, which I didn't really think of at the time. I was only thinking of it in terms of the lead-in. It's got a great long run-up for you to talk over. And I don't think of it as a Tool tune, but arguably could be a Tool tune.
Now, do I know this song?
Yes, you'll always know the song. I would never, Dawson, ever, because I know all the songs you know. So I would never give you a non-song. It'll always be a hit that somebody knows. So you don't know the song, but I guess Brian will fire it or Gary will fire it. But you don't know the song. Gary will fire it.
Introducing the
Gary will fire it. And then you'll have to talk it up FM DJ style, and you have to time it right.
Got to hit that post.
Okay. Can you just to be sure, just give me the name and title of the song,
nope.
just so I know it?
No.
Okay.
Well, you're going to know it the second it starts.
Okay, I'm ready.
Unless we want to go with slightly more knowable sheriff number.
Well, that's the sheriff thing is what scared me, because I heard you mention sheriff before, and I'm sorry, I'm unfamiliar with all of that.
Oh, don't be sorry.
Oh. Well, now
have
we
you
need
heard
to
sheriff?
Hear. Hold on.
Let, oh, no.
You want to try sheriff? I think you're going to know this.
It's a weird song.
All right, play the sheriff one. Dawson, don't do anything. All right, let's hear. Deputized as Casio.
Sheriff of Daisyville.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Yeah, Dawson's pretending not to know it, so we think he's straight.
National Coming Out Day. All of this on National Coming Out Day.
Yeah, this is one of my karaoke numbers, and this in Hell is for Children.
This cruise is going to be great.
This should be playing as the kid stands up who jumped off the 8-foot wall for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
slow motion.
Yeah. Bouncing off one of her titties and now going.
Rocks falling off.
Rocks slowly fall.
Christmas party, me and you, Gina.
Oh, good.
We do the duet on this one.
I love this song.
You know this song.
This is a tool and a half, dude. This is metric and SAE, baby. This is a 3/4-inch drive. It's got a breaker bar on it. I'm going inside tools with you, but this is all big tool. This is diesel tool.
The problem with this song as it pertains to tool tunes is this treads the line between tool tune and guilty pleasure. This is not a great song.
No, it is not. It is not, but you would be humiliated.
Oh, absolutely. But
I have,
that's
all right,
for sure.
Here's what I have.
Tool tune has to be a good song.
I have, well, it's tough. I mean, that's real subjective, but my two criterias, I only have two. I don't really have three. I don't have that has to be a good song. I have I would turn it up if this popped up. First, I would thank the Lord that it came on to the radio, okay. And then I would turn it up, and then I would roll up other people's windows, not just my own. I want double barrier, audible barrier. You roll your
pain.
Everyone windows up. I'll go up with mine. Do what I'm doing. I'd triple pane, triple glaze everybody, and I'd put argon gas in between me and the car next to me. The signal would be that embarrassed to have them hear me. So it's would I turn it up, and would I be humiliated if other people heard it?
Baby.
Yeah.
Well,
I appreciate the good song part.
You appreciate it?
Well, I mean, I get it, but that can be tough to settle.
You're right.
These are two that I know. These I'm locked off on. Some of the songs are subjective.
I appreciate your appeal.
Yes.
To the one who came up with the idea of Tool Tunes. But wow. I'm going to have to say this is a guilty pleasure. If you like it, that's on you. But this is not a good song.
Yeah, but the reason I think we need to reformat Tool Tunes.
I'll hear you out.
Is we've probably combed through 50 Tool Tune songs. Or maybe there's 50.
Some are obvious. Some are open and shut cases.
And I could probably pick out 8 or 10 that I would call not good songs. But I'd still like to say there were Tool Tunes. And it leaves it up to opinion.
Yeah, the individual.
As long as I can say, I'll turn it up and the window's going up as the volume's going up, then I can define
it more
clearly.
So you're saying everyone has a Tool Tune list in their own heart? Because to you, this is
no, you have to agree with me.
Okay.
You have to agree. No, if I said, hey, when I hear Eleanor Rigby, man, I turn it up, but that window's got to come up, I'd be embarrassed. But you got to go, no, that doesn't make, that's a good song.
Everybody knows that.
I'd put it on at a party and not have any problem with it. I'd be on my playlist at a party and I wouldn't apologize for it. No, everyone has to. One thing about the Tool Tune is everyone needs to agree.
Yeah.
At least on Turn It Up and The Window.
Yes, on those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a snap-on Tool Tune.
That's right.
I do have a submission now that we're talking about it, if you don't mind.
Well, can Dawson talk it up?
Oh, 100%. And he knows it 100%. This happened to me on the way here. Windows down, sunroof open. Love this song. I think Brian would agree with me or at least be familiar with why I would love it. And stopped at the light. And I was so humiliated that this dude was looking into my car, I took a right.
See, this is already good. This is already great.
I took a right when I needed to go straight.
The evasive maneuver.
Yeah, so I was embarrassed, but it's something that I love and you're all going to be familiar with.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, well, Gary has it.
But see, Brian, it's all good. This is all good, but okay. I'm in whether I know it's a good song or not.
Because the criteria?
Because she turned and she wanted to turn it up, but she turned.
But
so
I had
that's
to
remove
myself from the situation.
Well, let's hear it.
Kicking off another soft hits set of the hits right here on the Toolbox. Remember, my friends, this afternoon we'll laugh a little bit with the laughter at 5 after. Right now, let's continue with Chicago.
Tonight is
keep this song going.
Yes, please.
This is an archetypal Tool Tune. This is definitive.
Thank you. Okay, good. On the same page. Keep going. Technically, it was a solo project.
It's tough when you hear it. Yeah, I know.
He couldn't be restrained by the limits of Chicago.
And the video is mwah.
There's a video.
It's the best video.
The
he's in a dojo.
Right now. Yeah. People are pissed at me for saying Chicago.
He's singing in a dojo, and then through the paper panels, you see parts of Karate Kid 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's from
I would take a right turn into a drainage ditch.
On Highland.
Cesario, brace yourself for this chorus.
It's just this chorus. Perfect.
This is the song that makes it impossible for me to explain to my wife Chicago was once good.
Oh, training montage.
Oh, wow. Yes. Mr. Miyagi.
I hate to break to you, Brian, but there's some sheriff elements in this with the keyboards and everything.
Yeah.
This is a real timeless quality, but it's a sheriff song.
Right.
Just the best.
Brian, you have to listen on to it during your off day.
I heard enough.
All right.
I've already orgasm twice.
Well, I got a tall. So somebody gave me a tall order for Dawson because it's got a long buildup.
Okay.
You'll know it. You'll know the song. I don't really. It's not Tool Toony, but it's knocking on the door.
Bring it on.
Here we go.
And we are rolling right into another fine set of the hits here in the Toolbox, my friends. Stick around because Dusty Rhodes got a look at traffic coming up for us in just a little bit. It's brought to you by Toyota's Used Car Tent Show and RV Sale Plus Gun Show. You can get all you want and make a clean getaway. That's this weekend at the Pomona County Fairgrounds.
Remember the laughter at 5 after and an hour commercial-free every single morning with Aubrey and Hope here on the station that delivers all of the hits all the time back when he was called Cougar. First name still John. Started out as Johnny Cougar, my friends, but then that wasn't enough, so he went to John Cougar.
John had a long build-up.
Then he went to John Mellencamp, and now he's thinking about changing his name to John Camp Mellon Cougar. Coming up after this, I'm going to take the ninth caller for a free pair of tickets to that RV show and gun sale this weekend. Remember, Pomona County Fairgrounds will take caller 10 right after this. Hey, John, what do you need? Apparently, you need about 30 more seconds to keep talking, my friends. Also want to remind you, we got another Rock Block weekend this weekend. That's right, 2, 3, sometimes 4 song sets from your favorite artists right here on the Toolbox. John wanted to go for about 2 minutes and 40 seconds here, folks. The engineer was getting a little itchy at the beginning of this song, and finally, they cracked the mic. But not yet, because we got a couple more drum fills. And remember, Dusty Rhodes is standing by with that traffic report for us. It's brought to you by CompuServe. They're still around, and so is this intro. Here's Cougar. And he likes the piano.
Oh my God.
My friends. What do you need, John? You need about 30 more seconds to get this guitar rig going.
Wow.
If you want to hear something, give me a call at 800-800-HITS.
During
I'll play
song.
All your requests during the All Request Hour coming up at 10 o'clock on the Toolbox.
Wow. Yeah.
We have played this game several times on the morning show, and that is the greatest talk-up I have ever heard in my life.
That's an instant Emmy right there.
Dawson's going for the inhaler.
I can do better. Holy smokes. That
I
was impressive.
Except for it's made by Winston, and smoke comes out of it.
Yeah.
Wow, that was awesome. And I got to say, it's tough, because somebody tweeted me that song, and I knew that it had a super long run-up. But there are 5 places, obviously, where it sounds like it's kicking in. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Great. That was amazing.
Impressive.
Awesome
really
stuff.
Impressive.
And that was, once again, my favorite of all of the Toolboxes when Dawson did I Need a Lover. You should have seen him live. He was squirming. He was
Sario is still impressed. I found his tweets about it. He's like, oh my God, it's still amazing. This was Adam Carolla Show 2178, by the way. I think we mentioned on the intro. Yeah, I would kill to have seen what it was like in person.
Yeah. Instant Ace Award. We knew the second we saw it. We were crying laughing.
Whole segment was hilarious. Yeah. It knocked it out of the park.
I agree. And I always love that segment. All right, let's get to another listener request. At TechnoBabble2 writes, hey, for the next Corolla Classics, I'd love to hear when Adam starts to complain about how 411 doesn't work when he tries to look up information on a business phone. The guys start to mock him. What do we got?
Adam Corolla Show 2157 featuring Ari Shaffir. He's not in this portion. It's the opening of the show. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. This is from September of 2017. I remember writing the sidebar for this episode live, and I'll share my thoughts on that after we listen. Check it out.
Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
You're not chocolate-covered bacon.
Ari Shaffir from 2013.
So this will never work because my life is a never-ending host of experiments that never work when I'm there and then work when other people show up.
Oh, boy.
But I never do the 411 operator thing with the smartphone, except for there's simply one place and one place only I do it with.
Uh-huh.
And there's a Chinese food place that's nearish my house.
Tell me, Grandpa Corolla.
Right, 422, please.
And I tend to, like when I'm walking, like I was walking Philly cheesesteak the other day, and I said, I want to eat here later on tonight with my family, but it gets a little crowded on a Saturday night, so I shall make a reservation at this Chinese food place, a nice place called the New Moon Cafe, and it's in Montrose, California.
Nothing about this sounds very Chinese.
But I can never get through to the 411. I can never. They have multiple locations. And I try La Cañada, California. I try Montrose, California. But they always give me the one that's on Figueroa or whatever in downtown. Also, whether it's me talking to Siri or whatever the hell her name is over there.
Close enough.
Yeah. Shouldn't we factor in, meaning when it says what state or what city, and you name the city, and then it gives you the one in downtown L.A., shouldn't it know that that's not the city you were discussing, especially when you said that's the city? And again, I say the same thing with Lexapro or whatever the name of my Siri is. There's too many names in my head. Yeah. My point is this. I tell them to play 870 The Answer in the morning when I come walking in to listen to Dennis Prager in the morning. And every 13th to 17th time I hear The Answer by Pump the Volume, DJ 7, and they just play that thing. And I'm like, sweetie, we have a history, don't we? Don't we have a rich history of me saying this?
Like, every day.
I thought part of the deal was they start to recognize your patterns a little bit. Yeah. And since the only time we ever play this music is when you misunderstand me.
Go ahead and strike it out.
Just go ahead and strike it out. And by the way, when we play your Pump the Jam music instead of my 870 The Answer, and I immediately hop on it and say stop, shouldn't that work into your artificial intelligence as well?
Down.
We never listen to more than 1.7 seconds of what you've put there, and yet we listen to hours of the other thing. At some point,
you should be able to correct
the pattern, start working it. All right, so I thought, just for fun, I would try this just to see if it did, if it were, it was as horrible. Now I find myself yelling, all voice command stuff I find myself screaming at.
Reasonable.
But I thought I'd try it just to see how it worked, and I'll let you guys hear it.
And this is for Siri.
See if it.
AT&T Directory Assistance. Your AT&T account will only be charged when a listing is provided. Say a city and state, like Dallas, Texas. You can also say search by phone number.
Montrose, California.
Montrose, California. If that's not right, say go back. Now, which are you calling for? A business or residence?
A business.
Okay, say the name of the business you want. If you don't know the name of the business, tell me the type of business you are looking for.
New Moon Cafe.
Searching in and around Montrose. I'm finding one in Los Angeles. New Moon Cafe at 735 South Figueroa Street.
No. Okay, Gary, when you go on your website, there's one in Montrose, right?
Absolutely.
I'll send the info now. You can say, repeat, or hang on and I'll connect you.
I don't want to be connected because this is the one in downtown. If you go on the website, there's one in Montrose. Mm. So then I call back and I say another city. I say La Cañada, and it sends me to that one again. Mm. So then I try again, but this time I got an angle. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be super satisfying.
Gina, this is known as the twist. Yeah.
This is the twist, because I'm going to go with type of business.
Oh. Yes, 411 still works.
AT&T Directory Assistance. Your AT&T account will only be charged when a listing is provided. To call back. Cafe. Say, connect me. Otherwise, say a city and state.
Montrose, California.
Montrose, California. If that's not right, say, go back. Now, which are you calling for? A business or residence?
A business.
Okay, say the name of the business you want. If you don't know the name of the business, tell me the type of business you are looking for.
Chinese food restaurant.
able to find what you're looking for.
Okay.
Waitress.
What goddamn year is it? Yeah. You go on the website, New Moon Cafe, Chinese food, Montrose, California. Why is it not? Why? It's the only place I ever try to get the phone number from because I don't need anyone else's number and I'm just trying to put a reservation in when I'm walking the dog. Why? What is that? Gary, what is that? Is it just me? How come nothing works for me?
It is
nothing.
I think that you are squarely in the minority of people who still use 411.
I was just about to say, I think...
But it still could work. I mean, if they have it, right?
Everyone's putting attention towards making that technology better. I think it's just stalled because it's not being used.
But there is a New Moon in Montrose.
Yeah.
No, there is a Chinese food joint in Montrose.
Any other method you use to search for it will provide it, whether you do Google search or...
Try Siri.
Yeah, try Siri.
I don't think I have Siri.
Okay. Well, either way.
Hold down your home button.
I can't. I fell off already. I can't do it.
Oh, man, I'm trying to explain Sonos.
Why do we have 411? Like, why do we have an operator? Like, I'm just trying to get
a
number.
I didn't know we did. We had 411.
I didn't know it was still an option.
I'd forgotten.
You taught us something today.
Have you ever heard black people talk about giving you the 411 on something?
Hey, girl, what's the Siri?
No, they don't. They give you the 411.
Yeah.
So you don't have to call the 911.
You are hip and with it.
All right. Well, look, you're making fun of me, but what I'm saying is it's up and running.
Yeah.
It simply gives you the wrong location, and it seems to work. It just doesn't work the way you'd like it to work. Now, again... They're not putting a ton of work into infrastructure, let's say, over there. But why not? As long as what if I just wanted the one in downtown? Then it would work, right?
I'm wondering if that location needs to register with 411 and just never bother.
True, yeah. If you don't have a phone,
someone should give them the 411 on what's going on, dude.
Well done.
All right, I'm just saying that is my life, and no, I don't really know anything else. So what I do is when I'm done screaming at the phone, walking dog, looking like a mad person, where I have to hold it in front of my mouth and scream at it, and then I really start screaming when it's type of business because like Chinese restaurants, like, nope.
Never heard of it.
Nothing there.
But anyway,
when I get home, I go on the computer, and then I just get the phone number off the computer, and then I just call it up. Anyway, so that was enjoyable. I don't try things that often. Once in a while, I do, and they never work. Yeah. I can't even handle the kiosk at the airport. I have to hand everything to Mike August.
Oh, yeah.
I'll screw that up, too. I'm just bad.
You should outsource your reservations to Mike August.
It's a combination between being bad and having a magnetic sphere around me that screws everything up.
And that was Adam trying to get 411 to work. Gio, what'd you think about that?
Well, when I was typing it, I was typing, you know, over 100 words per minute so angrily. I was like, no, please, no, why? Why would you do this? It's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then the gang was having a fun roasting him. And I was like, oh, man, somebody just has to do Adam's dentist idea, but with his phone. We have to dart him, have him wake up in a cabin, tied to a chair. We splash some water in his face. And here's a basic function. Here's how you swipe. Here's what a double swipe. Okay, show me. Okay, repeat it. And just back and forth, back and forth. And then maybe teach him heel-to-toe racing technique at the same time.
But right.
My whole life is dealing with olds and trying to show them how technology works. And every single one of them believes they're cursed. And it's like, no, you're really good at this thing. Just apply that to this thing.
Yeah, it's no secret that Adam and technology don't mix.
But that's a self-perpetuating myth that he has about himself, and he's missing out on the techno future. He needs to bond with technology and become Cyborg Adam 2.0, like Uber Jason and Jason X.
Look, just like anything, you got to want it first, and then you'll let it happen. I don't know if Adam
Chris,
wants it.
We need to dart him, and we need to do this for his own benefit. His family will appreciate it. Everyone will be happier.
We'll do a Steve-O
and he'll be happier.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to force it upon him.
Gary will work a shift. We all know what we're doing. You guys teach him a little Mac stuff, and then I'll explain why Mac stuff sucks, and you guys are idiots, and I'll show him PC, and then you'll come in and go, I like PCs too. And then we'll hang out, and we'll show him how his phone works, and then we'll throw his phone away and give him an Android phone, and everything will be great.
That seems like a daunting task. I'll think about it. All right, let's get going with another clip. Now we're going to 2018, just a few months after the 411 incident, to the very first podcast that I produced. This is January 2nd, 2018, when Adam came back from his trip from Hawaii.
Yeah, once again, this is the State of the Union show this time. Adam Carolla Show 2230. Adam's fresh from the luau. They got a little talking about that. Gina Grant debuts something we didn't know she could do. She's never been to me, apparently. And then Adam breaks down the Midnight Train to Georgia. I think we played part of this before, but I cut an entirely new clip. So whatever you're hearing has never been played on Carolla Classics yet. Check it out.
All right. So that was a ton of fun. There's so much more to report from that. And I can sprinkle it in throughout the week.
I saw you're at the luau.
We're at the luau.
You have to do it now,
New Year's luau.
I saw you're at the luau.
I will.
You're mid-complaint.
The one, well, here's...
I will say the luau is rife for complaints.
Oh, well, look, you have to know the thing's just a big fat tourist trap. Yeah. I mean, you have to understand that. But the deal, so they say, well, you really get to enjoy things through the eyes of your kids, like seeing those kids on the front of that catamaran whizzing through the ocean with the breeze in the face and laying down, magical. On the other hand, you can be miserable when those little bitches don't appreciate stuff as well.
Going both ways.
They're like hula dancers. And
it can't
and
just be not. Nothing can be a two-way, one-way street. There has to be. If it brings you delight to see them really appreciating these events and these gifts,
then why then would it not?
Then when you see them open a soda, take one draw off it, and then like dump it down the sink and go, well, then that's going to make you miserable. For the same reason. If you couldn't enjoy the high, you couldn't enjoy the low. So or you couldn't be miserable over the low.
We're giving Gina the hard sell on kids now.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
You go to a luau, and like as a kid, all I knew from luau was watching the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God.
Oh. Yeah, the girls in the skirts.
Grass skirts,
and the,
coconut bra.
And also, the thing, like Lost in Space was a more realistic TV show to me than the Brady Bunch. Because that I could picture. Like sometime in the future, they made spaceships and he made friends with a robot. And there's a pedophile up there with him and everything who's always scared. But Brady Bunch took place in our time with real parents and real kids staying in like real hotels.
Real love.
Real love and affection and like going places and sitting at a luau together and all that.
Enjoying each other's time.
So my whole life, I've always been sort of, and I knew it was a tourist trap, and I knew about all this stuff, but...
Who cares?
They're doing the show. At some point, I turn around and scan the kids, and all the kids, and I think we had four or five kids there, all kids are staring at their devices. Ugh. There's hot hula chicks up on stage, and they're like hitting the drum, you know, and they're shaking and shaking and shaking, and they're all just staring down at their devices. And then at some point, they're like, we're bored. And they just get up and leave. Mid hula show.
It was for the kids. No, I thought that, like, this was, if anyone was going to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's for the kids who were born, you know, up until 1975 and then had some sort of major head trauma where they didn't advance past the age of 9. Not these kids. They have a tablet. They're ruined. How are you going to have these chicks up there and these dudes up there shaking their ass? How's that going to compare to anything they have on their tablet? They all got up and left. Then the wives all got up and left.
No.
And then it was just me and Sal and Danny Two Sheets, and I'm like, we're not going anywhere.
And the kids born in 1975 who hadn't advanced past the age of 9.
Right.
The other almost.
Yes.
There was no dad voice. There was no, hey, you're staying and watching this show.
And the wife's like, what do you want from me?
Well, if you do that, then they just complain. Then the wives presumably had to take care of the kids.
Sure. Oh.
But they didn't, obviously, they weren't interested in hanging out either. So they took off. Everyone just took off. And the guy, ironically, the guys who paid $1.17 a head, those guys were staying. The three dudes who paid.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's always nice to see, you know, $1,100 get up and walk out. But I was like, we're not going anywhere.
Leave your drink ticket.
The joke was on them because at the end, Fire Torch Dude came out.
Oh.
That was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they missed Fire Torch Guy.
How was the food? Because I can imagine it would freak the kids out to see a pig roasted in the ground.
The pig was, they did parade the pig around a little bit. They did like a victory lap with the pig, but the kids didn't really see it.
That's for the best.
The food is fine, you know. It's
like banquet food.
It's just banquet. Yeah, it's tourist trap you know, food. Mm. I tried some poi just to say I did. It just liquid nothing.
Kind of, yeah. Is it like a paste?
It's pasty, it's liquidy, nothing. Of, yeah. It's a zero. And so I'll keep it at that for today because we have Gina, we have Bald, and also the State of the Union as well. So why don't we start with you, Gina? What'd you do?
Well, for the first time in years, I honestly can't remember the last time I did this. I did not go anywhere and I did not do anything. And it was the most restorative, rejuvenating, self-reflecting week that I have had in recent memory. I needed the sleep. I needed to just sort of like be walking on the beach and thinking about a lot of things and thinking about my upcoming year and thinking about my past year and reconnecting with friends and making a lot of phone calls. And it sounded like it was going to be super depressing and boring, and sometimes it was. But overall,
there were moments of dark despair.
Overall, not going right from work to, you know, jumping in the car and going on the road trip or who has the plane tickets, we got to leave tonight. It was absolutely what necessary. It was what I needed.
Well, obviously, travel can be super intense with kids, especially, sure. But just in general, it's just the whole TSA business. And also, then for you, I'm all for the part where you just go. You don't have to go anywhere, but you do have to go to the beach. Yeah. You have to find a body of water and walk around it.
Truth. And I'm lucky to live over there. So every day it was lots of, you know, just taking pictures and walking around and getting some exercise and a lot of thinking. And it was really, really necessary. And I didn't realize, I had a doctor's appointment and, you know, working on some stuff. And she's like, so how's the sleep been? How's the short-term memory been? I said, great. She goes, oh, you're cured. I was like, of course I'm cured. I don't set my alarm for 3 a.m. anymore. I don't have a morning show job right now.
Interrupting your sleep.
Exactly. Just alarming me out of my circadian rhythm every night. So just having this time to just sort of sleep again and thaw out and feel human again was more necessary than I even realized.
Side note, made at the breakfast table. The girls brought up Spanx. Do they do anything? What do they do?
Yes, they do.
And then somebody, one of the girls said, they just basically move fat from one place to another place, yep. But they don't really get rid of anything. They just sort of move it. And I said, yeah, they work like the undergarment version of a leaf blower.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They don't actually pick anything up. They just spread it around.
It just looks better on the side than in the front.
Right. We'll just put some of your fat ass in the neighbor's pool.
And then his
driveway.
His Spanx will put it back in yours.
Right. Right. So
very chill.
You got there was a song. You've never been to me.
I've been to paradise, but
could be a Tool tune.
It's the most Tool tune, and she gives a speech in the middle of it.
Oh,
hey, you with the kids and the husband. It's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah, you gotta find that one.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
And remember, we just went on vacation. We went to Cozumel and Key West and had a cruise. I just needed to chill out.
There is a I've Never Been to Me by Charlene.
That's the one? Oh, it's so good. Roll your windows up.
Windows up.
Have we discussed 4 minute song. Should we cut to the talking part?
No, this is amazing. Turn up.
Have we discussed this song?
Searching out your life. You're a discontented mother and a rich invented wife.
Regimented. Like to bring a little of that back.
It's not all bad.
From the early 80s.
The things you'll never do, but I wish someone had to talk to me like I want to talk to you.
Break it down.
She's
now
talking to her old self.
Yeah.
I've been to Georgia and California.
I miss the preacher man and the preacher's daughter. Yes. Guy's talking about banging the preacher's daughter.
The son of a preacher man?
Yeah.
I had to be free.
Brian, you know this one?
This may have come on the show years ago. It sounds familiar, but I don't know.
I think there's one more verse and then the speech.
Please, lady.
She's beseeching.
Don't just walk away. Because I have this need to tell you.
If only there was a music video for this song.
Why I'm all alone today. I can see so much of me still living in you.
eyes. Won't you share a part of a weary.
Oh, you got to pause it for a second. You know what I think? I just jumped in my mind. You know, there's some guy who at the time of this tape, at the time they laid this down, 1981.
Sure.
80, 79. Yeah. Figure it out, Max. When they're laying this down, you know there was a dude who was at the time. Now, when they're laying it down in 1981, he's 53 years old, but he played keyboards with Grand Funk, Vanilla Fudge.
He was in the Wrecking Crew?
Yeah. He played with
look
all
at him
the
now.
76. Was it recorded in 70? Look it up again.
Yeah, record 76, released in 77.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So perfect. Still, a decade earlier, the dude was playing in front of
he
front
was
of huge
tops.
Yeah, just but you know this guy was playing with Motley Hoople and stuff like that, and they were doing the greatest music ever. And now he has to sit in because he needs that gig after the divorce,
become.
And he's become a session guy.
Yep.
He's still trying to keep the long hair, but there's a bald spot in the middle of it, and there's always some discussion about 38 special. The Outlaws getting back together.
This was a number one hit for Motown Records, so you know that he was part of that.
Oh,
you know,
they just shifted him over.
The guy probably was part of that great era, you know, 10, 15 years earlier.
Now he's forced to sit there and just play for this bitch who's giving us her recipe for life. All right, sorry.
This next verse is a little rapey.
And the Isle of Greece while I sipped champagne on a
yacht.
Please rhyme it with twat. Damn it.
Monte Carlo and showed them what I've got.
Close enough.
I've been undressed by kings. And
it gets worse.
I've seen some things that a woman ain't supposed to see.
What?
Yeah. Me too.
I've been to paradise, but I've never.
All right, strap in.
All right, here's a. You got to do it.
Right. Gina. All right. Hey, you know what paradise is? It's a lie. A fantasy we create about people and places as we'd like them to be.
We isolate these
but you know what truth is? It's that little baby you're holding. And it's that man you fought with this morning. The same one you're going to make love to tonight. That's truth. That's love.
Wow. Gina Grant.
I love this song.
No.
Really?
I knew.
Is this the first time you heard
it? All right. Well, Gina, don't play it, but find Midnight Train to Georgia as long as we're talking about it. I had some thoughts.
So good.
So, Gina, you've been to Paradise,
but
and you went to you.
I realized
Hermosa Beach.
I hadn't been to me.
Not been to Redondo.
No, I've been to Nice. I've been to Greece. Moved like Carlo, Monte Carlo.
But you've not been to Huntington Beach.
Jesus. I had not been to Hermosa.
Okay, so that's where...
that's what I did.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was great. Am I supposed to top that?
What'd you do, Bull Brian?
As you know, the kids, at least at a young age, having a little kid is a get out of travel free card. When you get older, you're going to go to Hawaii.
Like Thanksgiving.
Like
right.
Exactly. Well, that was unfortunate. That was a sickness. But, like, you know, there's no plans for Christmas. Everyone's got to come to us. If you want to come to Christmas, come to us. So my parents came down and visited a couple days before. We spent Christmas at home. Christmas night, we made dinner, invited a couple friends over who were, you know, out-of-towners, who families from Pittsburgh and New York. Mm. They brought their little girls and Christy's family, and we had a awesome Christmas night, Christmas at home. And then we do what we do every year. Her family, I think I've mentioned this before, Christy's family's been going to this ranch in Solvang, which is in sort of the Santa Barbara area, a little north of Santa
Beautiful.
Barbara.
Dutch area.
It is very Dutch. And this ranch is actually a working cattle ranch, but it's also a resort. And they've been going there since she was a baby. For 38 years, they've been going to this ranch every year. And we went for the 30th year in a row for my 11th year. And it's nice. They very much trade on nostalgia and memory up there because they go up and they see the friends that Christy literally grew up with. To this ranch every year. It was fun. And like you mentioned, seeing everything through the kids' eyes, like this ranch is fun. It's a fun place. It is like an all-inclusive kind of thing where, like, you know, the food, you just show up, you just eat, you order drinks, whatever. And that's always been a lot of fun for the 10 years we've been going, Christy and I as a married couple or a couple. But this year with Tessa as a 15-month-old, it's like unlocking a new level of a video game, like seeing her explore all the stuff there is for kids. Like, she went to parts of the ranch we didn't know. Like, we always like, huh, I wonder what's over there. Oh, well, let's keep walking to the bar, you know, in years past. Now it's like, oh, Tessa, let's go follow her. And she waddles off and finds something to play with. Like, oh, what a great area for kids. And it was just so cool to see her like Christy probably was at her age, exploring this this ranch up in Zalvik.
And
it's very
she,
cool.
She is an actual person now. I mean, from last year's Christmas party
and
to
mobile.
This one, very
super mobile,
mobile. A thief with very sticky fingers when it comes to purses.
Christy got very ill the last day. She got a flu, and so I was on baby duty 24 hours, which I'm happy to do because I love Tessa. I'm happy to help out, but man, it is tiring when you're chasing around a now mobile and now very interested in everything 15-month-old. She is excited and excitable.
Well. Enjoy
but
that.
It was fun.
Look forward to the luau's that they don't look forward to.
I'll tell you it was crazy. Driving up through Santa Barbara, through Carpinteria, through that whole area, that's where the fires were. And very recently,
I might add,
as of like a week ago, they were still burning. To see, like, we're driving along Highway 101, which is the major highway up there, to see both sides of the highway blackened from fires.
You never see that.
And to see how close it came to homes, like, it burnt. Here's the freeway. Here's this six-lane highway, and then here's a row of palm trees, and then houses, a row of houses, and then the beach. You know what I mean? Like these are oceanfront houses. The palm trees burned. They're like candlesticks, like burnt out candlesticks. They're just charred, burned, and then the houses just firefighters saved all the houses. Oh, yeah. It was amazing, amazing job. And you saw signs everywhere, homemade signs. Thank you, first responders. Thank you, firefighters. And they did an incredible job from what I can tell because there were just huge swaths of land burnt, charred to a crisp right off the highway, and then homes, immaculate, perfect homes that have been saved. So it was crazy to see.
Thank you, signs. As known by the homeowners, but as known by the firemen, kindling for next fire. that cardboard's going to actually spark the next fire.
Like the Blues Brothers, please put your signs down.
Yes.
One last thing. I went to a barbecue with some former coworkers over at the Sound, and we had a great time. And every year, a good buddy, Josh Flieger, who was the assistant PD over at the Sound, makes this New Year's dish. And I had him send me a picture of it because I really, really wanted you to see it on a day that Vinny isn't here.
Mm.
His New Year's pot, you can throw the picture up, is chopped up kielbasa. Okay. Chopped up hot dogs, a pork roast, and then you throw that in a pot and cover it with pierogies and mashed potatoes.
It's called Jugo Home.
It literally looks like the visual representation of a heart attack.
Jesus.
And that's what they do every year on
I love it.
Yeah. Kind of a redneck gumbo.
Yeah.
Gumbo's
a redneck gumbo.
No, you're right. I'll take
that. It's kind of a...
Delicious.
Ladle it.
It looks delicious. Yeah.
I will let you find the lyrics, Max Pata, to Midnight Train to Georgia, and then Brian can sum that up. I was at the hotel. I was laying in bed, and I was thinking about that song, Midnight Train to Georgia.
Classic.
Enjoy that song a lot, and always enjoyed this song. And I was thinking about it. And then I realized she's singing about a loser. And she's a bigger loser. She's going to get married to this unemployable.
She's waiting for this guy to come back with his legs.
This guy came out here to make it be a star, but he's going back with his tail between his legs.
Right. Is Gladys Knight and the Pips?
What's left of his world? He told everyone to F off, and then he went to L.A., and they didn't have a lick of success, and now he has to go back to Georgia and drive a truck.
Right.
He's leaving. And the Pips, they don't let him get off easy either, because she's like, she goes superstar, and I go, but he didn't get far. Like, they're like rubbing it in.
There's a Greek chorus.
They're keeping it real.
Yeah, not even any extra work.
They're shitting on her point.
Mm-hmm. Codependency. I'll be with him. She's going.
What kind of future can this guy have? He's going to knock her up and then he's going to split. I'd rather live in his world. A wild, wild failure.
Yes, right.
Classic codependency.
He kept dreaming. Listen to the Pips rub it in. Someday he'd be a star. Superstar. But he didn't get far. Like, I hope this guy. Who's this song about? That guy's gonna feel horrible. Hey, they wrote a song about you. Oh, that's awesome. No, not good. No success.
Dreams don't always come true. his hopes.
Is it an early example of keeping it real?
He pawned all his hopes. And he also blew a producer. But that was like $80.
It's in the extended version. But...
driving a truck.
Yeah.
Sad. Even on a midnight train. So I was thinking about this song. I was thinking about this guy's a huge loser. And Daniel pointed out at breakfast that she's a bigger loser because she's following him back to his life of mediocrity and no success and no money.
She's broken.
Why is he so attractive? He sounds like a douchey actor guy.
Yeah, could have stayed home and been earning money those 11 years.
Right. All right, so...
We cut to 12 years from now, telling their kid, like, hey, your dad spent a little time in Hollywood, you know, behind the camera, the pips pop in, but you didn't get far. All right, because you follow me around every day.
Poor guy, the pips are falling around everywhere, and it's like...
He even sold his car.
He's in the job interview, Mr. Smith. I see you spent a few years in Hollywood as an actor.
He wanted to be a superstar, but he didn't get far. But for everything, like
someone... Were people with you?
They're the pips. So so I started thinking about it, and I thought, all right, not only is this song about a loser, but the second thing I thought about, I said, I bet the song was written by a white dude, like maybe even a Jew.
Oh,
and then I started thinking, I don't know why, but this is the most soulful song. It's done by a black woman, so I don't know why, but I know this wasn't. It couldn't have been written by Gladys Knight. It has to be some dude. Whoa, white dude. Country dude.
Okay.
Country dude.
Do we know what this is? Or did you have to look
it up? No, not a name you'd recognize. Okay. Was out here playing, like, came to L.A., was playing, like, semi-pro football with Lee Majors.
Autobiographical.
From the $6 Million Man.
He's the loser.
Yes. He... called up like Lee Majors on his at home when Lee Majors was married to Farrah Fawcett. And she said she's about ready to get on a midnight flight to Houston.
Not as sexy.
Flight to Houston?
Thought midnight train to Georgia would be a lot better than midnight flight to Houston. But he liked the general vibe of the whole thought. And then wrote the song sort of about himself coming out here trying to be a songwriter and whatever. And switched to midnight train to Georgia and blah, blah, blah. So there's your FYI. Your day in music history.
Love it.
And that was Adam breaking down midnight train to Georgia.
Along with Brian, too. Brian really jumped in there, too. And he was like, he was really enthusiastic about the pips in person. Like, never got far.
He was a superstar, but never got far. Yeah. I love that song. It's so good. But Adam had a lot of thoughts about it when he was hanging out with Danny Two Sheets in Hawaii. So there you go. Another classic song breakdown. Before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody once again about Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Get to it. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico and save that extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Now, I want to thank everybody for requesting those clips. If you want to request a clip, very easy. Just email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. You can tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. We're on Instagram, Facebook. Find us. Let us know what you want to hear. We love playing these clips for you. Carolla Classics returns tomorrow for our Sunday episode. So we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Thank you. I'm hollowing it on.